AM 1420, WASR Wolfboro, W246DI Wolfboro at 97.1 FM. Local, community, radio.
And now, live from WASR Socially Distant Studios, the best sports show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hasek.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. This Friday bonus show, kind of, sort of, Charlie, right?
It is kind of bonus. It's the Black Friday.
Ooh, Black
Mike
Friday
and the Haas show.
There we go.
Yeah, we have all sorts of deals and specials.
Okay. I didn't know we had that.
Eric's working something up, some type of promotion for WASR. We didn't tell him, though.
Did you go Black Friday shopping?
Absolutely not. I am not a Black
Eric?
Friday shopper.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. The only shopping I did, Mike, before I ask you if you did, is what you just helped me with, and I want to thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's become a tradition. We didn't do it last year, probably because of COVID, but we get our Christmas tree.
No, I was away last year.
That's right, what it was. Yeah. We get our Christmas tree locally at the Rotary here in Wolfboro, and we pick it out, and you are gracious enough to come with your pickup truck. We throw it in your pickup truck, and you bring it back to my house, so thank you.
You're welcome. It's a whole 5 minutes of my time.
I know, but it's much appreciated.
No,
so thanks good. Again. Did you Black Friday shop?
I Black Friday shopped twice in my life.
Okay.
And both of them were televisions.
Oh, you purchased televisions?
Yes.
Not this year?
Not this year.
Okay.
Not this year.
So tell me, did you like wait in the line? Did you? How did that go?
First in the store, you know, that kind of.
Were you really?
Not waiting in line. It was, you know, it wasn't crazy shopping like that. But early on in the show, his store was like 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, the television seemed to be the biggest discounted things that I see for Black Fridays. And
I saw iWatches that are really marked down, too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that would have been nice to
I'm
get.
I'm in the market for
Apple Watches, yeah.
Well, that's
I know the Apple store itself, you know, the iPhones are pretty marked down today, too.
Are they?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But yeah, I have to really want something to head out in that cluster. I do like watching the videos afterwards of the
crazy
arguments and the stampedes and people playing tug of war with some doll that's $8.
Yeah, yeah. You go way back in the '80s, like the cabbage patch doll. Yeah, I can't. I mean, honestly, to think of anything that I would want or have ever wanted to fight crowds and to do that. I don't know. There's just. I don't know.
Buying televisions. I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
I mean,
buying TVs is fun, but I don't think I've ever purchased one on Black Friday. Yeah, we did get, like, we got a delivery today. My wife, I guess there was a pre-Black Friday sale, and we love burning the Yankee candles. Oh, boy. I love candles. Yeah. And so we just had a shipment arrive today, so brought those in the house.
I was watching, it was like a news program last night, and it said that it's really not Black Friday anymore, it's Black November.
Oh, because of all the pre stuff.
And that you can get most of the deals online.
Yeah.
You don't have to go and fight the crowd in Walmart. You can just a couple clicks and it gets delivered to your house.
You know what I really appreciated, though, this year is that a lot of stores didn't open on Thanksgiving, which is great.
Labor.
Yeah, not only labor, but I understand that it's labor, but I was thinking more in the terms of, like, they have a heart.
It's labor, Charlie.
And so they don't really have hearts.
These corporations don't have hearts.
You know, thinking that allowing people to be with their families on Thanksgiving. Now, I did notice.
It's labor.
I did notice that.
What do you think?
You agree?
I think it's to keep labor happy.
Oh, okay. So not to upset the labor that you have.
Right.
In town at Walgreens, I went there yesterday morning, and I said, you know, just small talk with the person working at the desk. And I said, you guys open all day? She says, no, we normally are. But today we're closing at 2 because we can't find anybody to work the rest of the shifts.
Right. And so, you're not going to torture the people that are there and say, like, you got to work a double.
They're not making anybody work.
They're not making anybody work.
Yeah. We actually discussed it at the Thanksgiving table. We stayed away from all politics. So we discussed it at the Thanksgiving table. And although my family's... We all think the same way, so it's very benign political.
I would love, at some point, next year I should come over for dessert, just to lighten things up and really make it a festive
atmosphere. I don't know if
lightening
things up is what
it could be really
happen.
Festive for us.
What were we talking about just
you
now?
Were talking about, so the, you were talking about as a family,
oh,
you were
yeah,
talking
yeah, yeah.
about
so
the
about
labor.
Places being open on Thanksgiving. We had the discussion, and my opinion was that it should be a volunteer day to work, and if you want to work Thanksgiving... And there's enough people that want to do it that makes it viable for the place to stay open, then the place should be open.
You know who does that? Aroma Joe's.
Okay.
So Aroma Joe's and the one, we like to go to the one in Alton, and they have a staff that like wanted to volunteer, and they put it up there, you know, for Thanksgiving. Last year, they had a staff that was willing to volunteer for Christmas Eve,
yeah,
like to work a certain number of hours. Said, you know, we'll be open. There's people that are traveling or and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, and so I, there's a whole bunch of people that didn't do Thanksgiving yesterday. They're doing it today. Mm-hmm. And so they were probably, I mean, granted, you watch football all day long and have some fun with that, but maybe if they wanted to work, some people want to work.
Yeah, some do.
And
you know? And there's a lot of people that have to work, like healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, things like that, don't have a choice.
You know, my take on it is if you can have enough people to work, then the business should stay open, but they should never twist anybody's arm to say we're staying open, at, you know, opening at midnight for Black Friday, all the new employees are coming into work.
Right.
That's crap.
At midnight, though, I did see that Old Navy opened at midnight last night, or this morning, you would consider it. But, yeah, most other places were the, like, 5 a.m. opening, 7 a.m.
You would have to be just about giving away the stuff for free for me to get out there at midnight to go to Old Navy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm certainly not heading to Old Navy.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, not, I can't tell you the last time I was in an Old Navy.
Well, I'm just, I can't. I just don't want a Henley that much or a pair of cargo shorts that much.
I mean,
much.
Here's the deal. So I'm like, you know, I'm wearing flannel today. I'm kind of an L.L. Bean guy. I love L.L. Bean. L.L. Bean is open every day of the year, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, that's their. And that's you
can
the pulse.
Yeah, and you
have.
Can just go up there and get whatever you want.
They're not open Christmas though. I thought they were closed.
Maybe
on
they're
Christmas.
Not. Maybe they've changed it. Yeah, but I just remember that. Like I remember as when I was younger, I'd have buddies and they'd be like, "Hey, you know, after dinner, let's go to L.L. Bean." We get up there at like midnight and it's open, and that was cool. No one was there.
All right. Mike and the, I don't think that I don't understand what they're doing at open at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Because they have, I know why I asked the question when I was there, and there's people there. They're stocking and so they have these people that like you know that are stocking and rearranging and getting ready for the sale. So they're there anyway. So
okay.
Their point was
so if somebody comes.
They're
in,
like their point is we're here anyway, so we might as well just keep the lights on because the lights are on.
Okay.
So the doors are open. Come on in and you know.
All right, I understand that.
That's why they do it.
Mike and the Haas is powered by the M Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfsburg. Found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar. And, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you are there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive 20% off at Gigi Box. You changed it.
I did.
20% off of Gigi Box right now.
Yeah.
That comes out to be like $8 off of Gigi Box just by mentioning Mike and the Haas or WASR.
It's a good deal.
Today is trivia, so you can join our conversation, 603-569-LAKE, 603-569-5253.
Shout out right now to Peter Kelly. So the other day, I was trying to do a little something for the paraprofessionals at my school, and I had placed an order last week, and there was a little bit of a mishap. So I went into the Yum Yum Shop, and my order wasn't necessarily there. No big deal. Peter Kelly took care of business, ended up going out of there with 2 beautiful gingy boxes. The staff couldn't have been happier the next day.
Nice.
I got, you know, another plug to one of our sponsors. I went down to Lucas Roasting, and he opened up just for me, and he gave me
a
big...
Mike and the Haas, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Yeah, Mike and the Haas, he'd probably open up right now for us. And we got some coffee, and it was just a great day with the staff. So thanks to Lucas Roasting, and of course, to the Yum Yum Shop.
Ready for opening takes brought to you by Hancock Lumber
for all your building supply needs.
I think we're going to probably spend more time. I was just wondering, what am I going to talk about today and what bothered me this week? And it's Thanksgiving week. I didn't want anything to really bother me.
Sure.
But there was a couple things that bothered me.
Okay.
And one thing is the Boston Red Sox bothered me.
Yeah.
They haven't signed Xander Bogaerts, but they did sign a shortstop.
They did. Mike, I don't think they're going to sign Xander Bogaerts.
No, I don't think so either.
I think Bernie Hines is going to be licking his lips because he's going to probably end up in Philadelphia.
There's a few teams that he might. Yankees are on the table too. And
can imagine that though.
Ooh. And I just said the Red Sox just don't get it. They're going to over the next 8 years, the Red Sox are going to have like 12 shortstops.
Yeah,
they're going to be
just
bringing them in every year,
through.
Just cycling them through.
Yeah,
and just like we cycle through right fielders because Mookie Betts left, and we cycled through starting pitchers when John Lester left. We just cycle them through rather than paying the guy.
Just paying him up front.
And just paying him up front would have been paying him last year.
Yeah, exactly.
When
that's
it would have
true.
Been a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Now they dick around with it, and they can't afford him now. No. Which is what's going to happen.
No.
There was a poll. There was a poll just from the baseball writers. It was 10 baseball writers and where they thought Xander was going to sign and for how much.
Okay.
And most of them were in that 6 to 8 years, $150 to $180 million.
All right.
Nobody had 220. It was none of that stuff. So, out of the 10.
So paying them like 27, 28 mil?
In that, yeah, in that range.
Okay.
Out of the 10, only one of them had the Red Sox.
Wow. Was it a homer? That had him.
I don't
like
remember.
Dan Shaughnessy.
No, it definitely okay. wasn't Shaughnessy. Yeah. But it just drives me absolutely crazy that. And then they're starting to spin the narrative that he's our number one priority. He's our number priority. Well, I mean, you're my number one priority. It doesn't mean I'm going to give you a bunch of money.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just spin right now. It's all they're doing is just spin.
Did it make you feel better that they signed Devers?
Did they sign Devers?
Yeah.
I missed that. When did that happen?
Yeah, they signed Devers. Oh, now I'm going to be eating my words if that's not true.
They didn't extend Devers.
I thought they extended Devers.
I don't think so.
Oh, then maybe I'm living in La La Land. Yeah.
I think I would have heard that.
Yeah,
that would have been big news.
I guess it would have been big news. Maybe it was an information that I had that I was talking
well,
with
I mean,
a friend.
I could be wrong, but
oh, here we go. Sorry, no, it's not true. It says. The gap is approximately between $50 to $80 million.
Yes, they came closer.
I'm sorry,
yes,
listeners. I'm getting everybody
get
excited here.
I did
now,
get that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that in order to get the deal done. So, I think they're going to sign Devers
this offseason.
Yes,
I think they're going to extend Devers.
I think they'll extend Devers. Do you disagree with that? I mean, you're not going to let both of them go, are you? Are you going to let Devers and Bogarts go?
I don't trust Heim. I don't trust him.
All right.
I think he wants to run this thing as Tampa, and Tampa doesn't pay those guys, and so I don't trust him. Do I want Bogarts over Devers or Devers over Bogarts? I want both of them.
Yeah, of course.
I do. I want both of them. And I don't think that Bogarts right now makes $20 million a year. Locking him up for the next 7 years or so, 6 years. Let's say you can get him for 6 years at 28.
Yeah.
That's an extra $48 million. And in teacher money, that's a big deal. That's a huge deal in teacher money. In MLB
right.
money, that's not that big of a deal.
Right.
And your fan base will get behind the team a lot more than Ho Park or whatever his name is that's coming into town.
Yeah.
I think it is Ho Park. Is that what it
yeah,
is?
Yeah, I think it's
Hand
Ho Park.
Hand Park or Ho Park. But anyway, signed for a one-year deal for like $900,000. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Right. And the thing, at least with Devers, as we know, we've talked about this, is when and if he can't play third, he could potentially play first, and then he'll eventually probably become the designated hitter. So wrapping him up for long term kind of makes sense. So we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen with the Devers and Bogarts saga. But I think you're right. I guess sitting across from you, I wouldn't be surprised if next week we realize that Bogarts has signed somewhere else and Devers is, you know, still not been extended, and it wouldn't shock me.
It wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah, so
it'll disappoint me. It
yeah,
won't
be
shock me.
Definitely disappointed, but it wouldn't shock me.
All right, do yours.
All right, you've seen this, I'm sure. But Marcus Stokes, he was a football player who was set to play for the Florida Gators, and he was committed to play this year, going in for this July. However, that all changed when the school decided to pull their scholarship. Because of a video that surfaced. And the video that Stokes was saying, and it was on social media, had him rapping or singing a song that included the N-word. And the University of Florida revoked the scholarship right away. And there are some people out here that don't support the University of Florida and what they did to Marcus Stokes. Here are some of the tweets that I put in here. People are going to ruin this kid's life for rapping along to lyrics widely accepted by everyone that profits off death and violence in the hip-hop industry. Another one says, if all Marcus Stokes did was literally sing the N-word in a song on a video, he shouldn't lose his offer from Florida. That's cancel culture at its finest. Use this as a learning opportunity, not a screw-him opportunity. The world is so soft. Do better. And then Marcus Stokes did apologize, and he said, I was in my car listening to rap music, rapping along to the words, and posted a video of it on social media. I deeply apologize for the words in the song that I chose to say. It was hurtful and offensive to many people, And I regret that. And then he said, I fully accept the consequences for my actions, and I respect University of Florida's decision to withdraw my scholarship offer from for football. So really what I wanted to do is ask you, Mike, and I actually like to ask you as well, Eric, do you support University of Florida? Is this cancel culture at its peak? The fact that these are accepted lyrics, and I know that we probably, the three of us, don't listen to rap and words that have the N-word, but it's in popular culture. You can hear it everywhere. You even hear it on the radio, not WASR, but other radio stations. How do you guys feel?
Well, if you want my opinion, I think the university has gone way too far.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to get mad at the people who produced that song with that word in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it climbed the charts. That says something, I think, about, as you say, cancel culture.
Right.
You know, it's okay, but if you put it on Facebook, it's okay to be on YouTube, you know, with the video for the song, but mm-hmm. if you put it on Facebook singing along with it.
Right.
No, I don't, I'm not buying it.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I have several, actually, and I'm going to be cautious on this because of the Mitchell Miller stuff with the Bruins
a couple
of weeks ago. When that first came out, I was like, really, that's it?
Definitely have to be cautious because you want to vet this whole thing. But the Mitchell Miller thing, definitely. I mean, I don't think all three of us agree that that dude is a bad dude.
No, yeah. But at first, when it first came out, when the news first came out and the situation wasn't completely vetted.
Right.
It was like, well, this eighth grader, you know, pulled a prank in you know, the eighth grade. And that was all that came out.
That was it.
And then by Sunday, that happened on Friday. So by Sunday, then full story came out. I think that I like to think that there's more to this story than just the video. But I think when kids put stuff on social media, the lesson that needs to be there is that could come back to bite you. No matter what it is, that can come back to bite you. It's the world that we live in now. And if you're a promising athlete, and these guys know, they're recruited, you know, from freshman year of high school.
That's
on.
Right.
These top recruits know what's going on. And they probably should be hiring a media manager for themselves about what should be put out there and what's not. And, yeah, kids are going to be kids. But you pay for things that you put out there, especially if you're filming yourself singing a song that has the N-word in it, and you're going to put it out there, and you have probably these guys have thousands, tens of thousands of followers by the time that they get to college.
Sure.
Everything that you do is going to be scrutinized, and I think this is one of those cases that maybe he shouldn't have done it. Maybe he should have. Do I agree with it? Do I think that singing along with a song should be the end of his scholarship? Probably not. But I think that if you're going to put yourself out there on video and to get clicks, mind you, because that's why people do it. People put themselves on social media so they can get comments and likes and clicks and stuff like that. Well, if you want to have the likes, then you have to deal with the dislikes also. And I think this is the perfect case of what he did. There was dislikes that came, and so he has to answer to it. The whole point of social media, what it seems like, is to get likes and clicks and comments.
Right.
And people that overly post are looking to get likes and clicks and comments. And those aren't going to always be positive. You can't just assume that what you put, everybody's going to like it. Some people are going to be offended by it.
Sure.
And you have to own that. Because it's not, just doesn't go one way. It's not just strawberry cake and pie as you put things online. You know, and I think that there's a perception that, oh, people! I wonder how many people are going to like this without thinking about how many people are not going to like it.
Right.
And this is the case where somebody didn't like it. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what's going on with the Florida recruitment office and saying that they're trying to clean up their program or whatever. They're trying to get this word out of their locker room. And they have a recruit that's coming in that has social media that they sang the song. And they say, well, we can't have that. We don't want that. There's probably so much more, many more layers that are to this rather than just this video.
And I think that'll come out, and I suspect that Marcus Stokes will probably play football next year at some other university.
Boy, we are way over time.
All right.
We'll be right back. Hancock Lumber, in business for nearly 175 years, is a seventh-generation integrated forest products company who is passionate about its people-first and values-driven culture. Team Hancock is a multi-year recipient of the Best Place to Work in Maine Award. Hancock's 11 existing lumber yards, truss and wall panel manufacturing facilities, timberlands, 9 kitchen design showrooms, and 3 sawmills will provide their new team with an additional set of manufacturing and distribution resources. These resources are in addition to the existing product and service offerings catering to the community's high-end residential contractors and subcontractors.
Hancock Lumber is now online with online shopping, product visualizer tools, and an enhanced account dashboard. It's never been easier to stay connected to Team Hancock's products and services. Our website overhaul, including important company information, weekly blog updates, online quoting, and more, is available at your fingertips 24/7.
Visit Hancock Lumber in Wolfboro today or go to hancocklumber.com for all your building supply needs.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
All right, welcome back to Mike and the Hoss. We're just talking about World Cup soccer, which is actually what we're going to talk about off the air. Before we get to World Cup soccer, a couple things that are going on. The Friends of Pop Whalen are, as we know, Pop Whalen Arena has gone under a major reconstruction to a point pretty much being called the new arena. And the opening is still slated for January 3rd, which is incredible.
That's great.
That they broke ground last April, and they're going to be able to pull
this
off.
Be ready to go.
Yeah. But they're having an open house on December 14th from 6:30 to 8:30, where you're going to be able to walk in the arena and look around and see what they've done. My understanding is that the boards have gone up, and they're starting to get ready to put down ice.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
It is pretty cool that's happening. So it's December 14th, 6:30 to 8:30 at the Pop Whalen Ice Arena.
That'll be fun to go and check it out.
I think so.
You haven't been over yet for anything, right?
Nope. Just drive by it 4 or 5 times a day.
Sure. Speaking of that, how is the hockey team hasn't officially started yet? What's the plan?
Winter sports starts this upcoming week.
Okay. All right. Yep. So the week after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All the tryouts and all those kinds of things are starting. So, I mean, I did get a chance to talk to Coach Farragher. I know we're going to have him on the show at some point. He's looking at – he lost 4 seniors. That's 4 starters.
Sure.
And most of his bench, he lost too. Most of those guys had were the varsity guys.
Yeah.
So he's going to have a young team. Hockey, obviously, we're going to talk to Coach Potenza. We do conditioning standards on Tuesday, and then our first practice is over at Laconia on Wednesday.
Okay. So that's where you'll be practicing for the month of November, December? Well, you guys have games coming up.
We have games. Yeah. We actually have a game a week from Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's a scrimmage against Rochester down in Rochester. And then I think our first game is that Saturday.
It's like the 10th of December.
We're going to play Belmont-Guilford in Rochester. That's our only home game of the month of December.
So you're a home team but playing down in Dover.
Down in Rochester. And then the rest of our games in December are away. We have a Jamboree. We have a Christmas tournament.
You're going to Berlin. I know that.
We are going to Berlin. Say it correctly.
Berlin. I said it correctly.
It was a little. Berlin. You hit the L a little bit.
Berlin.
Don't do it.
Is that all right? Berlin.
Berlin.
Berlin. I might come up to that game because, I mean, how could I pass up just a little taste of poutine? So good.
It's also good
up there.
It's also going to be packed because that's the number one thing that happens up in Berlin is going to watch a game.
That's a good point.
The plan is for us to be in the rink, skating on our ice January 3rd.
That's great. The only thing that I'm looking forward to is making sure that there is a microphone for me. So
yes, I haven't heard that.
All we need is ice and a microphone, and I'm happy.
I have not heard that yet. So anyway, World Cup soccer. So were you watching the game before you came over?
Yes. Yeah, I was watching it with my son.
Let's talk about the game before we talk about the whole World Cup experience so far.
Sure.
And I don't know if Coach Nelson's listening. Hopefully not, because my take isn't very positive.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, the U.S. just tied England 1-1. And
no, 0-0.
0-0, sorry. Yeah. In a vacuum, that would be a good thing, because I would say that England was probably the favorite team.
Definitely.
The U.S. is coming off another draw.
Yeah, against Wales.
Against Wales.
That was 1-1.
That one, probably the U.S. needed to win that one.
Probably.
So that puts him in a must-win situation against Iran, which is coming up on – today is Friday, so I think it's on Monday
Tuesday.
Or Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Tuesday.
They have to win. Yeah. They can't. I don't.
They do,
I
because that's the top two teams advance, so they have to win.
I did go into the tiebreakers. So it's 2 points for a win, 1 point for a loss. Mm-hmm. So right now the U.S. has 2 points because they have two draws.
Iran has 3 points.
Iran has three, which means that you have to beat Iran. And England has 3 points.
Actually, England has 4 points, Mike. I'm looking at it here. So they have a win and a draw, England does, because Iran has a win and a loss.
Oh, a win and a loss. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
So Iran has how many points? 2 points then.
Iran has 3 points.
So it's 3 points for a win.
It's got to be 3 points for a win. Yep.
Okay. 3 points for a win, one point for a draw.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think the math works out where they absolutely have to win against Iran.
Oh, absolutely.
The World Cup right now has been it's the story, not just for the U.S. team, but just, you know, pretty much for all the teams over there. A lot of upsets. We saw Argentina loss.
Yeah.
We saw Brazil won, but they lost their two best players.
Right.
And Neymar and I don't know what the other guy's name was. And they're going to be out at least for the opening rounds, the first three games now. They have to advance relatively far for those guys to come back.
Get them back. Yeah.
And Brazil was
Now, who did Coach Nelson pick? Germany, correct?
He picked Germany because I think Germany was the defending champion.
Okay.
So I believe
he picked Germany
to
win it all. And some people have picked England to win it all.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the case, then the U.S. had a great game today.
Yes.
I mean, against a team that potentially could win.
And they didn't control the possession. I think England had
a large
possession.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just, you know, it was interesting to watch the difference in how they played. The United States played a very, very passive defense. Very passive. They did not challenge at all.
No, they didn't. I mean, England came right up to you know.
Yep.
And there was no challenge.
England didn't let the United States handle the ball.
No.
They put a lot of pressure on them, and you know, the United States did hit the crossbar in one of their.
You know what? It was funny. I said to Jonathan. Obviously, I'm still learning soccer, but England looked almost similar to if you were bringing it down to high school level. Merrimack Valley passed the ball all around, always passing, looking for that one pass that they needed to make as the English would make a run for it, and it was kind of fun. I thought it was enjoyable to watch. The U.S. team's very young. They're the second youngest team in the tournament, Ghana's being the youngest. So, I have to say, and I know you're a little down on soccer, but I think the future of U.S. soccer is pretty bright based on at least the two games in the World Cup.
Maybe at the talent level, but I'm not sure the future of people getting on board with soccer, which is the discussion that we had with Coach Nelson, you know, about why isn't soccer as popular as it is. And I think the 0-0 game is the reason why.
Sure.
You know, I tuned in. I was into it. I watched it. There was probably U.S. maybe had four or five scoring opportunities.
You saw the shot hit the crossbar.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. And then England had maybe four or five scoring opportunities.
Yes.
And the rest of the game was played basically at midfield playing keep away.
Yeah.
If, you know, we give baseball a hard time about being boring and nothing happens. Jeez, I mean, how much – there's nothing really happened. It was a 0-0 game.
Yeah.
In this World Cup game, a game that, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'll bet you this was one of the most watched U.S. soccer games ever because of when it was played, the day after Thanksgiving.
Day after Thanksgiving, people are home.
The time that it was played at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
And there's buzz about the World Cup, especially because of the Qatar, because of the human rights stuff and all that. So there's a little bit more buzz about the World Cup right now. Not necessarily positive buzz, but there's buzz.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what the numbers come back, you know, in terms of who watched the game, how many people watched the game.
Right.
But this was their moment. This was the big moment for USA to really get people behind soccer, and 0-0.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Still, I mean, it was still a good game. Yeah.
If you're a soccer guy, don't get me wrong. If you're a soccer guy, it was a great game. And I still have some soccer in me.
Yeah.
And so it was a great game. But if you compare this to the three football games that were on yesterday
that
were all nail biters down to the end of the game,
right.
with scoring all over the place,
I got you.
Big hits, it's not comparable. If you compare it to the Bruins game that we're playing, they were playing against the soccer game this afternoon.
Right, and the Bruins won an OT.
OT.
But I think you're right. And I think if the, like, Iran had their last game, Iran scored 6 goals. So that probably would have been exciting. That's a lot of scoring.
Listen, six goals in soccer is like a football game that's 85-2.
Yeah, lots and lots.
I mean, that's how 6 goals is such a huge blowout in soccer.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll be right back with some trivia.
Lucas Roasting Company, which is located on King Street in beautiful Back Bay, Wolfboro. They serve delicious coffee, tea, espresso, and lattes. And you know what, Mike? They were voted the best coffee in New Hampshire by WMUR. They even roast their own coffee inside their cafe. Lucas Roasting offers over 40 different single origins and blends of coffee to choose from. My favorite is the Italian roast. It's really dark and has great, great flavor. After 13 years in the coffee industry, Lucas Roasting Company can handle personal and large business orders. Stop by their cafe on King Street in Wolfboro or order online to have delicious coffee shipped right to your door. The cafe is open Wednesday and Thursday, 7 to 5, and Friday and Saturday, 7 to 3. Or go ahead and visit lucasroasting.com anytime.
And please make sure to tell them that Mike and the Haas sent you.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Haas at yumyumshot.com. Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance. If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you. All right, welcome back. Trivia time, brought to you by the Full Belly Deli. Charlie, what are they going to win?
They're going to win themselves a delicious lunch at the Full Belly Deli. All they have to do is call 603-569-5253. That's 603-569-5253. You'll come on the air with us, give us the correct answer. We'll put you off air with station manager Eric Scott. He'll get your name, and then you will be able to go down and get yourself a free lunch as early as tomorrow.
It is World Cup season, and so for all you soccer people out there, you don't even have to be a soccer person. You just have to know general sports. Which country has the most World Cup wins? And it happens to
World
be
Cup wins.
Five.
That's five. That's a lot. That's a dynasty.
When you only play every 4 years,
yeah,
it is a lot.
Yeah, it's so like being born on leap year.
Which country has the most World Cup wins?
Okay. All right. If you know it, 603-569-5253. I just want to – I had this last time, and you try to brush over it. I know you do all the time. So Pete Rose. Pete Rose and his letter to the commissioner. I just want your thoughts. And Eric, I'm actually going to bring you in on this because I know you know Pete Rose. I just want to give you guys some information.
Eric knows Pete Rose?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Knows of Pete Rose?
Yeah, not personally.
I wish you knew Pete Rose. All right, Pete Rose, he's playing career spanned 24 years with the Reds, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the Montreal Expos. He's baseball's all-time hit leader with 4,256. He has a career batting average of 303. He earned 17 All-Star nods. He has 3 World Series championships, 3 National League batting titles, 2 Gold Glove Awards, 1 National League MVP Award, and 1 World Series MVP. And don't forget, he was the 1963 National League Rookie of the Year. He's been banned from baseball since 1989. He asked the commissioner, Rob Manfred, back in 2015 to be reinstated, and Rob said, no, thank you. He just recently sent a letter to Rob Manfred saying, basically, I'm 81 years old. Please let me into the hall. He said, despite my many mistakes, I am so proud of what I accomplished as a baseball player. I am the hit king. It is my dream to be considered for the Hall of Fame. And like all of us, I believe in accountability. I'm 81 years old, and that I know that I have been accountable and that I want to hold myself accountable. I write now to ask for another chance. Our friend Josh Spalding Josh Spalding is currently at the Baseball Hall of Fame right now. He's visiting it. And I had said to him, I tweeted out to him, wouldn't it be nice to see a Pete Rose plaque at the Baseball Hall of Fame? So, gentlemen, what are your thoughts?
Well, give all the information. Why was Pete Rose banned from
Pete Rose was banned for betting on baseball, betting on games that he was part of.
Okay.
As a manager.
So he bet on his own team.
Yeah, he was.
Or against his own team.
Against, probably more like against his own team. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I think that's kind of a big part of the story. You were just talking about all the positive things.
I just wanted to share the positives as to what the guy did between the lines. I mean, the guy, I have to say, if he were sitting here, he's a jerk. We know that Pete Rose is a jerk, and he does jerky things. But if you just want to kind of weigh it on what he did between the two chalk lines on the baseball
including
field.
Including betting. Because the betting has to be looked at as in between the lines also, because that potentially affected the game.
Yeah, I understand that. So, I mean, what are your thoughts, gentlemen? Does Pete Rose deserve an opportunity as an 81-year-old elderly man to have the opportunity to be put into the Hall of Fame, especially in the PED era where people are actually considering whether or not we put in these players that have taken performance-enhancing drugs and hit millions and millions of home runs, that if we're going to even have that conversation, should we not at least have the Pete Rose conversation?
You want to go first, Eric?
Okay, I'd love to. I look at it that if he's going to bet either on teams that he's playing in or on, obviously he has or had some type of gambling problem. So, okay, I mean, but the problem is it can't be just fair. It has to look fair. And that's the problem with banning him for life. So we bet on a few games. BFD.
Is that us? Is that us, Eric?
Yeah, I got it. We'll be there in a second.
Okay.
But on the other hand, pleading the fact that he's 81 years old doesn't cut it.
Right.
So I'm of mixed feelings about this.
And that was his argument. 81 years old. Yeah. All right. Do we have someone for trivia?
We have a call.
Oh, let's see.
Brazil has won the most World Cups.
That is correct.
That is correct.
I recognize the voice.
Yeah. Also, I want to talk about Pete Rose a little bit.
Sure.
I'm going with Coach Hossack here. Like, Pete Rose, everyone cheats in baseball. As long as baseball's been around, everyone's been cheating. So it's kind of hard to ban someone from cheating if everyone cheats in baseball.
Well, you're not going to be surprised by this, but I'm disagreeing with you.
Well, there's no evidence he cheated.
There's evidence he cheated with betting.
Right.
Yeah.
I think the betting thing is worse than the cheating thing. Hold on a second. What he did is he affected the game for everybody. And so when you look at betting on baseball as the manager of that team, you cannot say that all the decisions that were made during the games that he was managing were in the best interest of the team to win the game.
You just made my point, because I disagree with you, because we're not putting him in the Hall of Fame as a baseball manager. We're putting him in the Hall of Fame as a baseball player.
You're putting him in the Hall of Fame also as a representative of baseball. He is still a representative of baseball.
Yeah, so is Jose Altuve. And so is, so many of these guys that are going to go in the Hall of Fame. They're cheaters. Like A-Rod, you can go through these guys that represent
Mark
baseball.
McGuire, Sammy Sosa.
Mark McGuire, yeah.
I'm not, and none of them are in the Hall of Fame. So
they're going to be.
You didn't let me finish on this, and so caller, you can stay online for this too. But we had talked about this with McGuire and Sosa and all these guys. There needs to be a separate room in the Hall of Fame that says their achievements on the field have qualified them to be in the Hall of Fame, but it's going to be called the asterisk room. But there are many, many questions about how they got there and why they did that.
Yeah, but Pete Rose shouldn't be in that asterisk room because
he should be a manager. He should be in another separate room.
Yeah, he didn't take performance enhancing drugs to be able to do what he did.
I hear what you're
saying. He's the all-time hits leader in MLB history.
I understand that. But he is there's not a player in Major League Baseball that has a blacker mark on them than Pete Rose.
Roger Maris.
Why would he have a black mark on him?
Played too many games, so therefore it doesn't count for the home run record. So he has an asterisk on his name. So therefore your asterisk take, like...
Well, the asterisk, yeah, but asterisks, and we're talking about Pete Rose right now, that Pete Rose has a serious black... Betting on baseball is, that's the most taboo thing that you can do. Betting on your sport is the most taboo thing you could do. See the Chicago White Sox who threw games because they were influenced by
but
the bettors.
They were players.
Okay.
I just want to go back to, let's let Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame based on his merits as what he did as a player.
So you're saying that no matter what they do afterwards... They should still be in there, no matter what.
I don't understand what your no matter what is. If he goes out and commits murder and homicide, does that impact Hall of Fame? Does that impact what he did as a baseball player?
I'm asking you, it doesn't.
Okay. It doesn't, because we're putting someone into the Hall of Fame based on what they did as a baseball player. I think Pete Rose is probably the biggest, I already said this, the biggest jerk around, and he's probably not someone that I'd want to hang out with. But what he did on the baseball field was amazing.
You know, there's serious questions whether he was betting when he was a player also.
That has never been proven, Mike.
It has never been proven, but you understand that there's a lot of question marks. It has never been proven that a lot of these guys haven't taken steroids either, but their assumption is that they might have been taking steroids, and so right now they're therefore out. If I have to think that there is evidence that is not being shared on why they're keeping Pete Rose out as long as, and why they're taking that massive hard stance.
Could it just be a personal vendetta? I mean, he probably would have gotten in, because back in 89 when he was banned, remember, the commissioner at the time unfortunately died like 2 months later.
Bart Giamatti.
Yeah, by heart attack. So there was a good chance that he probably would have been reinstated years ago.
Because he was friends with Pete Rose.
Yeah.
No, I understand. He was friends with Pete Rose. But ever since then, all of the commissioners that have come through, and I don't know all of their names off the top of my head, but all of them have had a absolutely not stance. That's been their stance. It hasn't been maybe we'll look at it in 3 years. It's been absolutely not. Now, do you believe that these guys have probably a little bit more information than we do?
Possibly.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, I mean.
They probably do.
They're not leaving any room as much as you are.
They're not leaving any room. They're not. It's not personal vendetta. They're not leaving.
I don't know
any
that.
Room.
How do you know it's not personal vendetta?
Because there's been three commissioners since that Bart Giamatti. Giamatti. There's been three commissioners since then that have said absolutely not.
Maybe it's because he's a douche, Pete Rose, and they don't want him in the Hall of Fame. I go back. I agree with the caller. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Of course you do. Caller, are you still on the line?
I am still on the line.
All right. Do you have any? Anything else that you want to? Any opinions on anything else you want to share?
Nope. I think that Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I agree with Coach Hossack.
Okay,
that's great. We should enjoy. Fine. Maybe we'll enjoy a sandwich together with the full belly.
You should
belly.
Sleep there tonight. All right.
Thanks for calling.
Of course.
Bye. Take care.
He broke his thumb in the football game yesterday. By the way.
Yeah. Well, you know he's going to heal up. Probably one of the best defensive backs I ever coached. great player.
Oh, how are we on time? I don't have my computer.
We're doing all right. It's like 4:43. Yeah, you're out of sorts here with your paper. All right. So I got a little. Yeah,
this should have been
yet.
An opening take.
So you are like he doesn't belong there. And Eric, you're okay with him going into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I'm okay going in there, but yeah. there really has to be some type of asterisk or something to kind of bring that up. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess to Eric's point. How that is shared, I don't have any more reason to let him in now because he's 81 than when he was 62.
I'm just saying that was Pete Rose's argument. That's not my argument.
That's what he wants.
He's basically saying I'm close to death. I'd like to get in before I die.
Okay.
Now that's my other. I guess that would be my other thing. Do they let him in after he passes? You know, is that when they realize? You know, because when people pass, you know,
should he have an induction ceremony if he goes in? Should he be allowed an induction ceremony?
Well, I mean, everybody that's gone into the Hall of Fame has had an induction
ceremony.
Should
he be allowed an induction ceremony where he's celebrated?
Are you waiting until he passes? Or, like, if they say next week he's going to be allowed in the Hall of Fame?
Next week.
Yeah, I think so. You got to give him an induction ceremony. What are you going
to
do?
You don't have to. You could say, okay, Pete, you're in. We're going to make a bus for you. You can go visit it with all the other patrons. And
with all the other patrons after you pay your admissions fee.
Yes, exactly. That's how I would do it. Your Celtics, 14-4. They won. Was it last night they won, or the night before?
They didn't. I don't believe they played on Thanksgiving. Did they play on Thanksgiving?
No, they didn't play. They played on Wednesday.
Yeah.
14-4, first place in the East. Unfortunately, that's not the biggest story that's coming out of Boston in terms of the Celtics. It's the Jaylen Brown stuff.
Yeah.
Who just can't seem to. I just want you to know, Bernie Hines, absolutely not. The name Pete Rose is what is being proposed of being admitted to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I'm reading Bernie's because he agrees with me.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you would only read those that agree with you.
I'm going to read this. Absolutely not. The name of Pete Rose is what is being proposed of being admitted into the Hall of Fame, regardless of whether he was a player, coach, or former one of each. Actions have consequences, regardless of his personality. This relates to his performance, too. Charlie Huss is a legend, but not a member of the Hall of Fame. Case closed. Bernie Hines, Esquire.
Yeah. Well,
when we come back, let's talk about Celtics and Bruins.
Sounds good.
When looking for a sub in town, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro. For some of the most tasty subs in town, you have to try the Full Belly Deli. Hey, Charlie, do you know about the Thanksgiving Fridays?
I sure do. Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, cranberry sauce, and mayo on a grilled homemade white bread. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955. And don't forget to tell them Mike and the Haas sent you.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Haas. If you're in the real estate market, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Faye brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Faye, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com. Need a chainsaw, some paint, or even a grill? Don't head down to the big box store. Stop at Bradley's Hardware in downtown Wolfboro. At Bradley's, you will find all of your hardware needs. Bradley's Hardware carries quality name brands such as Steel and Echo Power Equipment, Benjamin Moore Paints, Weber and Big Green Egg Grills, and just about anything else you could find in a hardware store. Bradley's also stocks an extensive inventory of rental equipment. Rent anything from a commercial carpet cleaner to a cement mixer. So before you head out of town, stop at Bradley's Hardware on 22 Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro. They are open Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 7:30 to 5. Bradley's is your local hardware choice. All right, welcome back to Mike on the Haas. We're going to just pound out a whole bunch of stuff here. Celtics, we hit on them really quick, 14-4, first place. Jaylen Brown is really more of the news. He keeps stepping in it, and now he wasn't wearing his reading glasses, and so that's why he sent out a tweet that
exactly,
was...
Exactly, yeah. He sent out this tweet. So he supported Kyrie and Kyrie's return, and the problem was the people that he was supporting were... there was a group that attended Barclays Center the other night that were, oh, for lack of a better term, anti-Semitic. And, of course... Jaylen Brown used the excuse that he thought they were part of some fraternity at some nationally known black college.
Yeah, it's energy.
Yeah, energy. So Jaylen Brown is I don't want to say he's not going to make our list, Mike. But I like Jaylen Brown. You know, it's funny because I look back, I listen to a couple of our shows in the way back, and I was all in on Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum, and I'm not as much of a Jaylen Brown fan now
because of the
things that he's done outside of the court. I like him as a player, but it just the things that he's doing is craziness.
I think as a Celtics fan, you should be concerned that this is going to take eyes off the team, and this is going to become the story because this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about Tatum is leading the league in points. We're not talking about they have the most wins in the league.
Nope.
We are talking about Jaylen Brown
and his relationship with Kyrie.
And his comments.
Yes.
So the Boston Bruins.
Yeah,
another team that just won. They are now up to 18-3. They did lose earlier this week, which is weird because Bruins have only lost three games all season long.
I love it. I love in the notes. The only thing you have in the notes is third loss.
That's
like,
it.
Like this was,
Because they're doing everything so well. I do sense they're coming back down to earth because, Carolina is an okay team. That's who they beat barely today in overtime. And the other night, off the top of my head, who they lose to. Anyway, interesting is that the Bruins, you know, you'd think that at 18-3 they'd be running away with this thing. New Jersey's right behind them.
Right. Look at it in this perspective. They're one-fourth of the way through the season, a quarter of the way through the season.
Correct.
And, no stopping them. think about it. You always say, what's the threshold? 95 points? That's the threshold?
Generally, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Bruins are well on their way.
Yeah, they're somewhere in the vicinity of 36 points at this point.
Yeah,
I mean,
crazy.
It really is something. Patriots. So we're going to cover two games.
Yes.
They beat the Jets on Sunday.
They did.
In probably one of the uglier games that we've seen.
3-3 until
three
the
to
last
three until 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Until 5 seconds, and there was a punt return.
Yeah.
The defense looked good, but then again, you say, well, New York, you know, isn't very good.
Yeah.
New York's defense is good, obviously. I mean, that is pretty interesting. There was a little hype being built around the Patriots that, oh, maybe they're going to, you know, get something going here. That got them to 6-4 if they could beat the Vikings. And the Vikings
had got destroyed
by Dallas.
By Dallas, yep.
Which I think actually hurt the Patriots.
Yeah.
I did. I think that hurt. I think it woke up Minnesota a little bit. If Minnesota beats Dallas or is in a relatively close game, I think the Pats would have been able to walk in. Minnesota was ready last night. It was definitely a wake-up call. They're 8-2.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they're a decent team. They're a weak 8-2 team.
No, they're anyway, actually, they're 9-2 now.
9-2 now.
Yeah,
The Patriots played on offense and defense as pretty much as well as the Minnesota's an offensive juggernaut.
Right.
With, you know, Cousins playing well, they have a great running back.
Yeah, they got Jefferson.
They got Jefferson, who the Pats couldn't stop last night.
Sure.
The Patriots played as well as they could, probably offensive and defensively. They let up a special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
They had the running it to the kicker, which led to scores. And then the refs come over, and I don't like to blame the refs very often.
I don't either.
But I have this interesting stat that I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
So the Patriots scored 25 or more points, had more than 400 total yards, outgained their opponent, completed 70% of their passes, had less than 60 yards in penalty yards, had no turnovers, and had no missed field goals. Of the 170 times in the Super Bowl era that a team had done that, so 170 is relative, not that. It's a lot of times, but if you think about it, how many games have been played in the Super Bowl era. Out of the 170 times that a team has met all those criteria, they are 170-0.
Wow. Until last night.
Now they're 170-1.
Wow.
So other forces were at play, special teams being one of them.
Yeah.
Was the Hunter Henry touchdown, was that a touchdown?
Let's talk about that. I mean, because we've all become experts because everybody has tweeted out the NFL rule book.
Yes.
So if you look at basically the NFL rule for that, the minute he caught the ball and extended his hands over the goal line.
Yes.
Touchdown.
Baseball move.
Yeah.
Football move.
Yeah. So that's that. So that should have been the end of story.
Yes.
So I was a bit frustrated by that.
Okay. And then how about the fact that his hands were actually underneath the ball?
Oh,
that the ball never hit the ground.
That's right. That's true. So at a minimum, if they didn't want to call it a touchdown, it would have been down at the 3-inch line. Like if they wanted to say that he didn't extend it and had control, you know, he would have been down, you know, really
at the 3-inch line.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
obviously was costly.
Oh yeah. Huge.
The holding play on the kickoff return that Minnesota scored on.
Yep. That the refs missed.
Totally.
Yeah.
The last play of the game with Mac Jones, the face mask against him.
Yep.
Yep. There was a lot. There was forces against the Patriots last night, and we don't generally like to call out the refs too much.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like the plays. You know, I'm not saying the Patriots lost because of the refs, but boy, it was a tough night for the refs too
because they missed they missed the false start on Brown.
They did miss the false start on Brown.
I don't know if that was a makeup call. I mean, technically, they're not supposed to be makeup calls.
No.
But I think of all the things that I'm frustrated with, and back in the day coaching with Coach Skelly, you know, I was a special teams guy, and there's absolutely no excuse for running into the punter, into the kick. I lost it a little bit last night. Just like there's no excuse for that.
Bill laid into him too.
Yeah.
Did you see?
I did see that.
Yeah, Bill was.
I mean, and then three plays later, they scored.
They needed the win last night because they have tough games ahead of them. All of the games ahead of them are tough.
Yeah.
But I would say that defensively, I don't think they're going to play a team that was as hard as the Jets, as hard as Indianapolis, and so on. I think Mac Jones should be able to score 25 to 30 points.
Yes.
If he, he played superb last night. He really was. He was really good.
No
and
complaints.
And we've been down on Mac Jones. I still want TB12 back.
I know. I brought that up at Thanksgiving dinner yesterday.
Yeah. I still want him back. Yeah. I think there is a path moving forward for him to come back.
Sure.
But in the meantime, you have Mac Jones, and he was great. He had time. Now, he did take a couple sacks at the end of the game, which has been part of the problem.
Right. And if you back up to that Jets game, if we were talking about the Jets game again, there's a lot of times he took too many sacks. He should have thrown the ball away. And that frustrated me with Mac in the Jets game. It's like you can't take a 10-yard sack, you know, get out of the pocket and throw the ball away. It just there was, you know, so he really played poorly against the Jets and redeemed himself against the Vikings.
He did. I think the whole offense did. I mean, they pretty much they could do.
I mean, just from the first play of like, oh, this is Patricia actually calling this offense? Because it was, you know, they opened it up a bit.
Funny, because Sam, my son Sam, said the same exact thing. He says, "Do you think Patricia's calling this or somebody else calling this? Because it looked a lot different." I think it looked a lot different because Minnesota's defense is not the same as the other teams that they've played. I think Jacoby Myers was hurt last night.
Yes, right after the first play.
And I think that he came in a couple times and he got hit again. I don't know what. Yeah, it was weird that he kept coming back in and then getting hurt again and having to go out.
And Ramondre Stevenson was also dinged up.
No, Damian Harris.
Oh, Damian Harris.
Was dinged up because I had him in fantasy last night. So that was nice. Thanks, Damian.
Yeah.
Moving forward, they have the Bills next Thursday.
Yeah.
I give them more of a chance against the Bills than I did maybe 4 weeks ago.
I do. I mean, the Bills almost lost to Detroit.
Yes.
The Bills are not – I mean – no offense, Bernie. The Bills are not this juggernaut that people wanted to build up as the Bills. You know, one of my things, if we have time, I wanted to talk about our power rankings and who we put as the top team. And the Bills are not the Bills have an Achilles, a tendon, Achilles heel. I think the Patriots can beat the Bills.
Based on how the Bills have played this year, yes, I give the Patriots more of a chance than they would have 4 weeks ago. And I give the Patriots more of a chance against anybody they have left 4 weeks ago. They need to get to 10 wins. They got to go 4-2 the rest of the way. They have six games left.
It's a tough road.
It is. When you have the Bills twice, you have Miami.
Yeah.
You have Cincinnati, who went to the Super Bowl last year. You have Arizona and Kyler Murray with a running quarterback.
It's going
to
be tough.
And then you get Josh McDaniels and the Raiders, who maybe they're starting to play better. It's hard to tell. They seem to be dropping like flies, so. Anyway, on picks, you are up 3.
Okay.
Real quick, tonight at the Back Bay Boathouse, Thursday evening's 20. No, tonight's not Thursday. Today's Friday.
Today's Friday, Mike.
Prime rib dinner specials. And then Sunday, $20 Patriots pack during the Patriots games, a pitcher of beer, 2 apps, 5 pounds of wings all day. $5 pounds of wings all day.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it. That is pretty good. All right.
So I'm up 3. Week 12. We got picks. Let's just quickly do this. I don't want to do all the top 5 power rankings. Who's your number one team in the NFL right now? Who do you like? Just the number one team.
I think the Eagles.
Okay, so the Eagles are 9-1.
They seem to be solid on both sides of the ball.
I'm not going to disagree. I would probably go with the Eagles, but you know who looks really good?
The Chiefs.
And I hate to say this, the Cowboys actually look really good.
Yeah.
So, all right, your picks, the picks this week. So we have the Bears. The 3-8 Bears are traveling to the Jets. The Jets are 6-4.
The Jets benched Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson has been benched. Yes.
Is that going to have a positive or a negative effect for the team?
I personally think it's going to have a negative effect.
Okay.
So you get the first pick. Who's Bears at Jets?
I think the Jets are going to win that game, and the Patriots are going to be back to last place in the East.
Okay, I'm going to be a risk taker. I'm going to take the Bears. So that's our first one we disagree with.
So Mike and Charlie, and so I got Jets, you got Bears.
Now how about this one? This is like the Reed Swinnerton Super Bowl. We've got the Bucks are 5-5 and actually in first place in their conference or in their division, and the Browns are 3-7. So the Bucks, Tom Brady is traveling to Cleveland. So what do you got?
Well, I know we're both going to have the Bucks on this
one. Yeah, we're taking Tom Brady.
You kind of built that up for
sure.
A big thud.
Right.
Rams at the Chiefs. I think we're both probably going to take the Chiefs on that one.
I agree. I'm taking the Chiefs. Yep.
Who put these games down here? You picked these games? Chiefs. Yes.
I picked these games. There's not a lot to pick from. Like we had three.
Apparently
we had three games yesterday.
That's true, and they were all good games.
Yeah.
The Saints at San Francisco?
Yeah. I'm taking San Fran.
Me too.
Yeah.
So
well, we're disagreeing on one of them.
We are disagreeing on one.
And we're not going to disagree on this one, I don't think.
And the Packers at the Eagles.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Packers are starting to play a little bit better. But getting back to the Saints-San Francisco game, I don't think that that's as much of a pushover. Even though right now San Francisco is my dark horse for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
They're starting to play with Jimmy G. Jimmy G is starting to feel it a little
They're
bit.
Moving up in the rankings. Yeah. Steve Young came out and said, sign Jimmy G for 10 years.
10 years?
He said, I want Jimmy G here for 10 years. No, that's what Steve Young said.
Wow. No Trey Lance.
Yeah. So
Trey Lance, who they gave up all those first-round picks for.
I mean, you know, Steve Young knows a thing or two about football.
San Francisco is going to have to trade Jimmy G as far away as they possibly can.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be in the shadow of Trey Lance, or Trey Lance is going to be in his shadow.
Jimmy G's shadow.
He has to, because this is exactly what ended up happening.
Right. Are you taking the Eagles then against the Packers?
I am taking the Eagles.
I am as well.
All right. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the YumYum Shop. Thanks to Fay Moore at Berkshire Hathaway,
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic,
Bailey's Bubble,
Lucas Roasting Company,
Duran Independent Insurance,
Bradley's Hardware,
JCN Shuttle,
The Full Belly Deli,
Hancock Lumber,
The Back Bay Boathouse,
and the Heinz Group of Philadelphia and London. We will be back next Thursday for more Mike and the Hoss.